Jonah chapter 2. Jonah chapter 2. Jonah chapter 2. Now, tonight we're going to continue a series of lessons that we began last week. And we started off last week talking about how Jonah was told to go warn the city of Nineveh. I think we all know the story. I know I certainly still remember the story when I was in Sunday school years and years and years ago as a little kid. And I still remember the story of Jonah being taught. But we know that God told Jonah to go warn the city of Nineveh. And last week we began the series hearing about the subject of running from God. And the reason why we began a series running from God is because God told Jonah to go preach to the city of Nineveh. And rather than going where God wanted Jonah to go, Jonah went in the opposite direction. And we saw some of the consequences that happened when he did that. When the Lord said, "Arise, go and preach to Nineveh," Jonah decided he wasn't going to do that. And like we said last week, the same call has been made to every Christian in this room. We're to arise, go and preach the gospel and tell the gospel to other people. And there are a lot of Christians who are running from God when it comes to doing that. There are a lot of Christians who are not going to tell anybody about Jesus Christ. They're perfectly satisfied of being where they're at. And sometimes they'll go out of their way not to tell somebody about Jesus Christ. They'll see somebody coming and they know they're supposed to be telling them about the Lord, and they'll go in an opposite direction. And so I will tell you that any time that you go out of the will of God, purposely go out of the will of God, and you make up your mind that you're going to run from God, you are headed for disaster. You are headed for disaster because God has a path that he wants you to go on. God has his will. And whenever you decide that you're not going to do the will of God, things are just not going to go well. And certainly we saw last week how things did not go well for Jonah, because the second he started running from God, all of a sudden a storm comes up, and he's tossed out of the ship into the ocean, and then a whale swallowed Jonah. Now, I'm not going to tell you that the same thing is going to happen to you if you get out of the will of God, but there will be storms in your life if you get out of the will of God. And there will be things, God's just not going to sit there and watch you keep on running from him and not do anything. I mean, think about this. If your child continued you tell your child to do something and he just bows up, crosses his arms, says, I'm just not going to do it," after a while, you're not going to keep on putting up with it. Amen? I mean, you're going to do something about it. You're going to do something that's going to encourage that child to do your will. Amen? I know what my dad would do to me. And so certainly, he was tossed from the ship, and he was thrown in the ocean and swallowed by a whale. I'd say that's a pretty bad day, and that's what he was having. And all of it could have been avoided. I mean, if he had just done what the Lord told him to do, none of that would have happened. So Jonah now is in a place that he did not want to be because he was running from God. He knew that he made a mistake by trying to run from God and run from God's will for him. And notice, if you would, his problem here. It says that Jonah prayed unto the Lord, and he has got out of the fish's belly and said, "I cried by reason of my afflictions unto the Lord." Notice now that Jonah was in deep trouble. He was now running to the very one. He's now running back to the very one he had been running from. Here he is in the belly of the whale. He's in a place where he didn't want to be. He's in a place that he should have never been if he had just done what the Lord told him to do. And now he's crying out to the very one that he was running from. He's turning to the very one. He's turning back to the very one he was running from to begin with. And he prayed here during this crisis in his life. And there are Christians today who, even when a crisis comes in their life, they still won't pray about it until the crisis becomes so bad that they think they can no longer handle it. That's usually the way it goes for us. You know, we won't pray about it. We won't pray about a thing until it gets so bad. That's when we say, "Well, all I can do now is just pray about it," as if prayer is only a last minute thing, as if it's only a last ditch effort. Listen, prayer should never be a last ditch effort. It should be the first thing we do. Amen. I mean, we should always be praying. But here, Jonah he's running from God, and then all of a sudden he's in the worst place he could possibly be, in the belly of a whale, and that's when he decides to pray. The problem is, folks, we need to pray all the time. We need to pray before we get to where it gets so bad we can't take it anymore. But people won't do that. So many people today, they'll go seek a counselor first, or they'll read a book on the subject first, or they'll do all these different things before they'll actually get on their knees and pray. But that ought not be true about us. I'm not saying those things are necessarily bad, but our first step should be praying and crying to the Lord, and that should be our second step and our third step and our fourth step, and we should just keep on praying. I wonder what it would take for you to pray tonight over something that's going on in your life. I wonder how long it's going to be that you exercise all the other things, all the other options that you think that you have before you actually say, Lord, I need you on this thing. Lord, I need you to handle this problem for me. I don't know why we always make that our last resort, but we often do. I wonder what God will have to send in your life to actually bring you to your knees. I wonder what God will have to put in your life, what situation he had to put in your life in order to get you to actually talk to him. Are you going to have bad things happen to you? Have you ever noticed how when we really get in trouble, how we always pray different than we normally do? Have you ever thought about that? I mean, think about your normal prayer that you pray, and then think about the prayer that you pray when you're in trouble. You ever notice the difference between that? You ever wonder why that is? It's because we're a whole lot like Jonah. You know, we think that, every day we think that no trouble's going to come, but then when trouble comes, all of a sudden we start to pray more of a real prayer, put it that way. Sometimes when we, our everyday prayer, you know how it becomes sometimes repetitive? We just, we get to the point where we say the same things all the time. We don't mean to, because we know we're not supposed to be repetitive in our prayer. We know that, but it just becomes, more mechanical than real. But it isn't like that when things go wrong, now is it? Never notice when things go wrong in your life how all of a sudden your prayers become more real? How you go from just saying the words and running through the motions of prayer to actually crying out to God? Don't you understand when we pray, we should be praying the same way all the time? You know, Jonah's got real trouble in his hands now, and he gets down to business with God in prayer. And that's really what we should be doing all the time anyway. We should always be down to business with the Lord in prayer. But it took trouble to get him to do that. You know, he's not the only one. If you remember Peter over in the New Testament, remember when he was there in the boat, and they were out on the water, and they see Jesus start walking across the water. And I've said many times, so many people are hard on Peter. They always say, boy, he's the one with the attitude problem. He's the one who cut off a man's ear. And he's the one who said, Lord, I'll never forsake you, Lord. But he was the one who denied Christ three times. And we're hard on Peter. But the one thing you have to hand to Peter is those disciples are on the boat, and there was only one disciple that got out of that boat that day. When Jesus was walking on the water, there was only one who got out. And there's only been two men that ever walk on the water. And that's Jesus and Peter. Amen? So, I mean, you can be hard on him if you want to, but I will say this, the rest of the disciples just sat there because they didn't have enough faith to actually walk in the water at all in the first place. But I want you to notice how the tone of Peter's voice changed once he started to look around and he sees the waves and he sees the storm and everything, and he's on the water, and all of a sudden he starts to sink. You know what he said? Lord, save me. Now, you can't get more genuine than that. You can't get more real than that. I mean, he was saying, Lord, save me. If you don't, I'm going to drown. It wasn't just some mechanical prayer. It wasn't some, canned prayer that he was praying. It was the real deal. And it's the same type of prayer that Jonah had. And it's the same type of prayer that we need to pray. What I'm trying to say is this. I'm not saying you should cry out, Lord, save me every day. But I am saying this. When we pray, we need to be real about it. We need to mean what we say. We shouldn't become so mechanical. I tell you this, if my kids talked to me like some of us talk to the Lord in prayer, I'd think they were weird. I would. I mean, if you think about your normal everyday prayer that you pray to the Lord, and then to stop for a second and say, now, I wonder if my kids talk to me like that. You'd think your kids were weird too. You know, if they said the same old thing every day, Mom, Dad, thank you for the food, and thank you for this day, thank you for my clothes, and thank you for the house. Next day, get up, Mom, Dad, thank you for the food, thank you for the clothes, thank you for the house. Next day, Mom, Dad, thank you for the food, thank you for the clothes, thank you for the house. You'd be like, what is your problem? Amen? But that's how we pray. That's how we do it. That's not the way we ought to do it. You're talking to your Heavenly Father. When you talk to Him, you need to reverence Him just like your parent, like you would reverence your parents. In the same way that you expect your kids to reverence you, when you talk to Him, you're to have reverence. But you're to talk to Him. You're to be real in your prayers. You're to mean what you say. You know, just talk to Him. How many of you parents enjoy it when your kids just talk to you? I do. You know, my son will call me up now and he just wants to talk. The one that just got married, he just wants to talk. Dad, how you doing? Oh, I was just doing this, just thinking about you. Don't you understand that's how the Lord wants you to talk to Him too? Lord, I was just thinking about you. Wanted to tell you about my day. There's nothing wrong with that. That's what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be talking to the Lord, and we're supposed to be real when we talk to the Lord. None of this just going through the motions and saying it, because I'll tell you something, that does not glorify God at all. In fact, the Lord warned the Pharisees about that. Repetitive prayer. And listen, folks, when we talk to the Lord, we need to be real in our prayers. And that's what Jonah was here. He was very real in his prayer. Now, I want you to notice this. When did he pray? He prayed when he was in a crisis. Did you notice about how he talked about how the Lord had cast him into the deep? Now, the truth of the matter is, who was it that cast him into the ocean? The sailors did. But he said the Lord cast him into the deep. And what he was saying is that even though these sailors, they were the ones who physically threw him overboard, it was God using those sailors to accomplish His will. God wanted Jonah in the water so that the whale could swallow him. That's just the truth of it. Do you see the Lord in the circumstances in your life tonight? Notice here the pronouns. It says, "For you have cast me into the deep." Then it says, "All thy billows and thy waves passed over me." He's recognizing the fact that God, in those circumstances, that God was at work in his life. And sometimes we want to blame the devil for the things that are going on in our life, but sometimes, could it not be that the Lord is putting things in your life to try to kind of wake you up, to get you thinking? You know, God loves you. He wants your life to be conformed to His will. And the happiest life you could ever live, the most wonderful life you could ever discover, is a life in the will of God. There's no life as a Christian that's better than the life that you live in the will of God, where you're filled with the Holy Spirit of God, where you're obeying God. That's the best life you could possibly live as a Christian. It's a joyful life. It brings peace. But when you get out of the will of God, sometimes God permits circumstances in your life, and those circumstances can be pretty difficult because He wants to wake you up. He wants to get you to a point where you look at Him and say, "Hey, I want to be in the will of God, and I want to talk to the Lord." I tell you this, you don't. When he's on the run from the Lord, you don't ever hear him praying to the Lord or anything while he's on the run until he gets in a circumstance so bad that he has to cry out to the Lord. And may I tell you tonight, sometimes the Lord will put circumstances in your life to remind you that you're out of his will. He'll put circumstances in your life as chastening. Sometimes he'll put circumstances in your life just to get you to pray, just to get you to talk to him. And that's what he did with Jonah here. Notice he says in verse 5, he says, "The waters compassed about me even to the soul. The depth closed around me around about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever." He's finding himself down at the bottom of the sea. I wonder if there's somebody here tonight, and that's where you're at. If you're at the lowest part of your life. You're at a low spot in your life. The circumstances of your life are about as bad as they could possibly be. Well, here's a picture of a man who's gone to the bottom, in the circumstances of his life, out of the will of God, running from God. He's in trouble, and he's praying at this moment. While he's in his trouble and trial, that's when he's praying to God. And notice what he says in verse 4. He says, "I am cast out of thy sight." Now think about this. Here he is. I mean, I don't know that anybody could get lower than Jonah was here in the belly of that whale. And he says, "I am cast out of thy sight." You know, sometimes what we do is whenever things are going bad for us, we start to think that there's no hope. We start to think that there's just no light at the end of the tunnel. How many of you know what I'm talking about? It just seems like things are going so bad. You're like, "Man, why me?" And then something else will happen. You're like, "Oh, great, now that's happening." And then And then just when you think you start to see the light, oh great, here's another one that's happening. It just seems like one thing after another, and pretty soon you start to lose hope. Now here Jonah is. He's down in that whale's belly, and notice that he's kind of thinking the same thing. He says, "I am cast out of thy sight." You know, sometimes the devil will get you to think that there's no hope. Sometimes the devil will whisper in your ear and he'll tell you there's no hope. And may I tell you that sometimes the devil will tell you two things, or two of the biggest lies that there are, and after all, he is the father of lies. But two of the biggest lies the devil will tell anybody, number one, the devil will tell you things like, just go ahead and try it this one time. Nobody will know. I mean, it's not a big deal, just one time. I mean, you don't have to keep on doing it. I mean, just try it one time, and after that, you're done with it. That's a lie, folks. That's a lie. That's the same lie he gave Eve at the very beginning. Amen? I just eat it. It's not a big deal. And she ate the fruit, and look what happened. That's how the devil gets us. He tells us a lie that just a little bit will be okay. Just a little bit won't hurt you. That's what he tells our teens. That's what he tells all of us. Just a little bit won't hurt you. But then after you do try it, you know what he tells you? You've done it now. Boy, you've done it now. Right? You're done. Lord knows what you did, and you're busted, and there's no hope for you. Two of the biggest lies that there's ever been right there. And that's exactly what he does for us. That's what he did for Jonah. Jonah thought things were hopeless there in the belly of that whale, but then he remembered God's grace and mercy. Look at verse 6. He says, I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought me up, or yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. Jonah still remembered that God was merciful. And Jonah remembered that the grace of God, the grace that God shows his children. And that's exactly what we should do when we pray. We should always remember that God is graceful and God is merciful every time that we pray. That God is not up there just waiting to pound on us if we make a mistake. You know, that's one of the problems that our perception of God sometimes is very distorted. And I think that one of the reasons that it's distorted is because we base God, our perception of God, based on other people and based on how we want God to be. Not based on what that Bible says that God is like. When we pray, folks, listen, when the devil's whispering in your ear saying there's no hope, there is always hope with God. Always hope with God. God is gracious. God is merciful. Now, that doesn't mean you can go out there and do anything you want to and God's not going to do something about it. But you know, God right now, he wants the best for his children. And he loves you, and that will never change. And because of that, there's always hope. It doesn't matter what situation you may get in, there is always hope. And so when you pray and you say, Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, help me out of this situation. You can believe that God's going to handle the situation. There's always going to be hope. But here's what we do. We pray and we ask God to do something. In our mind, we'll still think it's hopeless. There have been people who have had loved ones that were in the hospital and they were dying, and the doctor says, listen, there's nothing more we can do. And in our minds, we actually think that it's absolutely hopeless, and we sometimes we won't even pray anymore because we think it's hopeless. And then there's other times we'll pray, but deep down in our minds, we still think it's hopeless. It's never hopeless with the Lord. And even if that loved one were to pass away, you know what? The Lord still knows what he's doing. Now, we're not going to get that on this side of eternity. But when we get to the other side of eternity and we see how things really are, we're going to see that God is really merciful to take them home. How many of you understand that tonight? You know, we sometimes just think that God doesn't know what he's doing, that God's not merciful, that God... You know how many people I've had come up to me and say, why would God allow this to happen, preacher? What have I done wrong? What they're failing to see is they're failing to see the mercy in it. They're failing to see the grace in it. We only look through, you know, that Bible says, we look through a glass darkly. We don't understand things. But one of these days, we're going to see things as they are. And I'll tell you this, folks, God is merciful in every decision that he makes. And it really doesn't matter if we agree with it or not. It really doesn't even matter if we understand it or not. God is absolutely merciful. He's absolutely graceful. There's Jonah in the belly of that whale. He's thinking there's no hope. Then all of a sudden he remembers, hey, wait a second. God is merciful. God has delivered me from corruption. God, you know what you still have at the end of the day? No matter how bad it gets on this earth, you're still a child of God, you're still saved, and you're going to heaven one of these days. Amen? If that's the only thing you remember when you're praying to Him, remember that. That you're praying to the same God who is going to take you home one of these days. That's the one you're praying to. And even though you may be going through a tough time in your life and things may seem like they're really bad, you're still going to be in heaven one of these days. And the time that you have here is just a vapor. It's just a small amount of time. But we sure make a big deal about this time, don't we? We act as if the time that we have on this earth is the part that's eternity and heaven's just short. That's the way we act sometimes, but it's the other way around. And so Jonah here, he's in the belly of the whale, and he remembers that God is merciful. And even though God may be chasing us, when we're facing the correction, God's correction, we need to just believe that what the Word of God says. We need to remember that as bad as things may be during that chastening, we're still sons of God, we're still His children, and nothing is going to change that. Even when God is chastening us, do you realize that He's right there with us? He's right there with you to comfort you. When we're going through it, remember promises like Hebrews 13:5, it says, "For He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Promises like Psalm 55:22, which says, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee." Promises like Philippians 4:19, it says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Those are promises, folks, that are made for you and me. And as you remember these promises, cry out to the Lord, casting your care upon Him, for He careth for you. There's hope tonight, and you can turn to the Lord. If you've gotten away from the Lord tonight, there's hope if you'll turn to Him. And God can get you out of the mess that you're in. So here's this man, Jonah. He's in trouble. He calls on God in prayer. And then after Jonah cries out to the Lord in prayer, notice the next thing he does. He makes a decision. He makes a decision. Look at starting at verse 4. He says, "Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple." It tells me he hadn't been looking toward that holy temple. If he says, "I'm going to look again at it," in other words, he's going in the wrong direction. He's not doing what he's supposed to be doing. And he says, "Lord, I'm just going to turn back to you. I'm going to start doing what I'm supposed to do, and I'm going to start obeying you." So basically, he makes a decision, and he decides instead of running from God, he's going to run to God. He's going to change directions. And I want you to notice when he made that decision. He made that decision when he was at the lowest point in his life. He made that decision when he was at the most difficult time in all of his life. And that's the reason why you can't help but notice the parallels and the similarities between Jonah and the prodigal son. Have you ever thought about that? It's almost like Jonah was like the Old Testament prodigal. You know, when you hear the story that Jesus told about the prodigal, you have the prodigal, he departed from his father's house, he wound up in the hog pen, and when he was in the hog pen, he said, "I will arise and go to my father." When that prodigal was in the lowest part of his life, that's when he's there in the hog pen, that's pretty bad. How many of you have been around hogs? They're the stinkingest things ever. I can pass by, cattle out there, and you're like, "What's that smell?" I think it's cattle. But when you pass by a hog farm, you know it. It stinks. I love bacon, but I don't like being around the smell of that stuff. But here the prodigal is. He's sitting out there amongst the hog pen, and at the lowest point in his life, and that's when he says, "I think I'll go back to my father." And there's Jonah. Same way. He's down in the belly of the whale. And is that when he's at the lowest point in his life, that's when he said, "I think I'll go back to the Lord. I think I'll start worshiping toward the temple again." Jonah made the worst decision of his life while in the best place. So did the prodigal son. When things are the best that they could possibly be, that's when we make our worst decisions. But notice whenever they made their best decisions was when things were as bad as they could possibly get. That's the way it was with Jonah. That's the way it was with the prodigal son. And that's the way it is with us too. Not only that, but if you read through the Old Testament, you'll find out that's the way it was with the children of Israel. When did the children of Israel make the bad decisions to run from God? When things were at their best. when they were getting the victory, when they were up on top of the mountain, when everything was going great, that's when they made the worst decisions of their life. But when did they decide to turn back to God every single time? When they were absolutely at their lowest point. If you don't believe it, read the book of Judges. Every time that they were beaten down by these other nations, and they were enslaved and they were put down and they were absolutely at their lowest, that's when they would cry out to God and God would bring another judge in there. See, that's the way it's been, that pattern all the way through. And I venture to say that's probably the way it is in everybody's life that's in here tonight. What we do is whenever things are going really, really good, that's usually when we pray the least. That's probably when we read our Bible the least. That's probably when we actually pray with meaning the least. But then when things start to go bad, when things start to go really wrong for us, and we get to the point where we're pretty low, that's when all of a sudden we say, Lord, if you'll get me out of this, I'll come to church more. Lord, I'll pray more. Lord, I'll read my Bible more. Lord, I'll do this, as if we can work out a deal with God. And then all of a sudden we start to pray real. But you notice what happens? God is always, always there to deliver us. You serve a merciful, graceful God. So Jonah here, he makes the worst decision. He's in the best time in his life, and then he makes the best decision when he's the worst time of life. And really that's the way it is with us, because, you know, sometimes we want to spend our inheritance when things are going well on the things of the world. And just as the prodigal son ran from his father and the will of his father to live like the world, sometimes we run from God and his will too. Now, Jonah, he's sitting there and he's in the belly of the whale. Things are really bad for him. He finally cries out to God. And you know, I don't know what the circumstances in your life are tonight, but how much worse does it have to be before you'll actually cry out to the Lord? How much worse does it actually have to get in your life before you'll actually start to do what God wants you to do? You know, there's nothing wrong with just telling the Lord you've wandered away and tell the Lord that you're out of his will and ask for forgiveness and get back into his will. That's the decision that Jonah made. Jonah made the greatest decision in his life while he was in the belly of that whale. But then I want you to look at the third thing, and that is Jonah's deliverance. God does deliver Jonah. Here Jonah is, he's in the belly of the whale. He prays to the Lord. He cries out to the Lord. He makes a decision that says, Lord, I'm going to turn back to you. I'm not going to run from you anymore. I'm going to run to you, Lord. I'm going to do exactly what you told me to do. And then immediately, God delivers Jonah. It says in verse 10, it says, and the Lord spoke unto the fish. And that fish vomited Jonah out on dry ground, fully restored. Fully restored. Now, I'm not going to get into all the technicals and all the gross possibilities here, okay? But I am going to say that a man who's been in the belly of a whale probably didn't look great while he was in the belly of that whale. Amen? But the second that he vomited out on dry land, he was fully restored. So much so that one of the things that I always enjoy about this story is, you know, it tells you at the beginning of the book of Jonah that it's like 3 days from where Jonah was to Nineveh. But it says that after he was vomited out on dry land that he made it there in 1 day. Now, you take that however you want to take it, but I'm thinking, you know what? He says, you know what? The Lord told me to get, and I'm getting there fast. Amen? But what I want you to see is this. He was fully restored. And I'm just going to tell you tonight that if you've ran from God, if you're still running from God, maybe you're facing the chastening of the Lord tonight. If you're not and you're running from God, eventually you will. God will not sit idly by and let you keep on running from him and let you keep on being disobedient. He won't do it. And when that chastening starts, the best thing you can do, in fact, the best thing you can do right now is just turn back to the Lord. If you're being chastened, the best thing you can do is just cry out to the Lord tonight. And quit running from God. Run back to God. Tell him that you're sorry. Admit the sins that you've done. Confess those sins to him. And you know what he'll do? The same thing he did with Jonah. He'll restore you fully. You serve a God of second and third and fourth and fifth and sixth chances. You know how many chances the Lord keeps on giving us? He loves us, folks. He wants to see the best for us. But he won't put up his children running from him. He wants you to run to him. Now, I want you to think about that prodigal son over in the New Testament. He's away. He's over in a hog pen, and all of a sudden, he runs back to his father, and notice how the father greets him. The Bible says his father goes up there and hugs him around the neck, welcomes him back, and says, you know, prepare the fatted calf for him. That's the same way the Lord's going to welcome you back, if you'll just run back to him. Jonah here, the moment he prays that, the moment he turns back to God, you know what the Lord does? That quick, restores him. It's the same way with us. How much further do you need to go before you'll turn back to God tonight? Let's stand.